I was thinking about it. I thought this morning, I thought, you know what, God? Cold weather don't stop warriors. You know, and I'm not down to nobody, but, you know, or anything, you know. But breakthroughs come to the ones that sacrifices. You know, you will never sacrifice for God that will outweigh the benefits that God brings into your life. Now, I don't care. Paul, you know, some would say, well, Paul was in prison. That's what I'm talking about. He was locked in bonds, wrote most of the new, three quarters of the New Testament in prison. In other words, the benefits outweighed the prison. Amen? The benefits outweighed best started, because I don't have a title. You done started it? Okay. Because, you know, the Daniel in the lion's den, right? The benefits outweighed the lion's den. Amen? I mean, when the challenges come, and we're no different down here, the challenges come to us, and we have been empowered by the Most High God. Hallelujah. Nothing by any means shall harm us, the Bible says. The sting of death has already been swallowed up in victory. Praise God, hallelujah. And so nothing that we can face on this planet right here, God has not already provided the provision that we need, whether it be spiritually, physically, or financially. And He's given us the knowledge that is in the Word of God. See, everything that me and you would ever need in this life when we got born again, we had already in the spirit realm. Right? And Teresa made it really good. I mean, I've got every scripture she's got. And I wasn't really sure which way, because I got the prodigal son. And then I've got Ephesians about putting on the new man. You know, and I'm like, this morning, I'm like, God, I got two sermons here. I could preach 18 sermons out of this. Which way do I go? So I'm just going to be led. Is that all right with y'all? Because being led by the Holy Spirit, He brings, because I feel like I'm talking to some that's in out there. I want you listening. I don't want anything that we ever say here if you're a home Christian, you know, to be cut off from, or cut us off from hearing. But I do want you to know that the presence of the Holy Spirit and the anointing in the gatherings where you should be will be untold power released in your life if you are available to God and can go there. But don't turn off preachers and ministers. See, a lot of them sit at home, and if they don't like my sermon this morning, if I'm not preaching on money and all of that, they'll just switch and go find them some other preacher. But see, when you're in the house where God wants you, you can't flip channels. You know, our flesh sometimes are not interested in hearing unless it is good. Everything is good, even if it's tough and rough towards us. Hallelujah. I was telling somebody yesterday, I went on and listening to a guy, and you can listen to people actually and tell where they're at, whether they're in faith or in oppression or they're bitter or they're unforgiven or, you know, whatever, by their conversation and all of that. And life had happened to this Christian. But how many knows you can be a prodigal Christian? There's prodigal Christians. There's prodigal Christians, you know. They used to go after God. They used to fast and pray and seek the Lord and go to church and forgive and not steal and all of that stuff, you know. And then they decide, you know, I got it made now, you know. That's what the prodigal says the man had two sons. And one of the sons decided, give me my inheritance. Well, do you know what? I got born again one time and I got up there where I could believe for finances, and but God, I mean, I'm blessed going in, blessed going out. I mean, I meant it from 28 years old till I backslid. Right? And then I remember, because we kept our tithes, we've been a faithful tither, especially Teresa, for a long time. Now, I would steal, so she wasn't into stealing from God, but I was. I like, He doesn't need it as much as we do. God, God don't need nothing, and he knows we need it, so it ain't going to hurt him if I don't tithe all of it. Anyways, that's a thief to me. That carried on over there into that, you know. Well, anyway, praise the Lord. I thought about it this morning, and I thought, remembering backslid. See, I went to my neighbors, you know, when I'm backsliding, I'm just going to let you know. Right? You know, I mean, I don't want to be a stumbling block to you and just, you know, make you fall or see. So I went to my neighbors when I backslid. Backslid means you're not faithful to church anymore. And you're not faithful to church anymore because you didn't decide not to go. You would quit praying. You quit reading the Bible like you used to. You quit fasting like you used to. You quit fighting like you used to. It's just real simple. That's what the prodigal son, I'm tired of living good. He didn't know that's what he was saying. I'm tired of having everything good. I'm tired of having all my needs met. I'm tired of... I got all the faith I need. Those two sons. The Bible says that what all that the father had, Richard, was theirs. All that he had. What's he got? Healing, faith, endurance, freedom from oppression, freedom from fear, freedom from torment, freedom from financial pressure, freedom. All that he has. Our Father. That's a parable. Our Father. Hallelujah. And then they decided, well, I'm just tired of this. I'm tired of this going to church. No, we're living in 2026. I'm looking and I'm believing to receive laborers into this vineyard. I'm talking about I'm not talking about somebody show up every now and then. I'm not talking about somebody don't show up when they got a headache. When they ain't got no. I was telling somebody yesterday, we don't have to go to church to be a good Christian. I said, I didn't ever say that. Have you ever heard me? That's what I asked him. I said, you've knew me all your life. I said, have you ever heard me say that? No. I said, then why are you saying it? I just shut everything down, shut my life down, and I said, then why are you saying that? You don't have to go to church to be a good Christian. Why are you saying that? I said, it's because you ain't faithful. I said, but you're not going to convince me. I said, maybe you ain't trying to. Maybe you're trying to get me to agree with you where you feel better, that you don't have to fight the good fight of faith anymore, that you don't have to do what us others have to do to sacrifice some things for the Lord. But we realize that our sacrifices will not outweigh the benefits spiritually, physically, and financially. Materially. I told that person, I said, listen to me. I said, we went out yesterday. It was 16 degrees. It was 16 degrees yesterday. And we come out here serving Jesus. Right? We were cold. Our fingers hurt. Right? Our feet got cold. Right? No, she didn't. I sucked her up I put her in a coverall. She helped her get in coveralls yesterday morning. But my point is, and you know what? I wasn't out there thinking, oh my God, Lord, I had to get up at 5:30. I don't even think that way. Why? Because I have on that new man that Teresa was talking about, which is created in righteousness and in true holiness. But that prodigal son, he decided he was tired of having all his finances met, evidently. He was tired of being healed. He was tired of not having enough. He was tired of seeing God's breakthroughs in his life. He was tired of staying there and serving his father. And so he goes and he says, God, just give me. He said, Father, I want my inheritance. That's what we did. God says, I give you my son Jesus for an inheritance. I gave you the faith of God. I gave you peace of the Holy Ghost. I gave you freedom from oppression. I gave you freedom from financial fear. I gave you freedom from death. He said, and I could see it this morning. I know hundreds that has walked away from God because of their job, because of their wife, their sons, their daughters, their grandkids, their grandmothers, their grandfathers. I'm talking about there's everybody got a reason to walk away from God. My wife can't stop me from serving Jesus if he is my Lord. She can leave me, divorce me, gripe at me, get on to me every vacation, accuse me every time I turn around. You know what I'm saying? But she can't make me divorce her. She can't make me leave Jesus. She can't make me throw down the inheritance that I have in him. She don't have my mama don't have it. My mama called me a false prophet. She was wrong. My mama called me a false prophet. I knew that she was wrong. I was doing it for her. And I wasn't wronging nobody. But I thought, greater is he that is. That's what you do. Turn to the greater one on the inside. Don't just confess it. Greater's he that is in me. And then complain about your job. Complain this morning about it being, oh, glory to God, we got an extra heat and cooling unit. You're warmer this morning for the first time in history of this church than you've ever been on a morning like tomorrow, this morning. Although it's just 60-something in here, I'm praising God. Amen. Well, it's 50-something last year. Yeah. But you know what? We went year after year, and I know we sang, yes, it's hot in here. It's heat flashes. Somebody on the, oh, it's cold in here. Sandy's over there sweating. They're over here freezing. But I never one time went home and said, God, them rebellious kids, they just got to complain about it hot and they got to complain about it cold. And Lord, Lord, they know. I went home and I said, thank you, Lord, I got them both. Thank you, Lord. Well, the Bible says thanks be unto God. He didn't say complain be unto God. I know y'all quiet. We're learning. See, we put on the new man. But that prodigal son, he got tired. Boy, I mean, I had a revelation this morning of this, I'm telling you. If you are really following Jesus, I'm talking about really. I told that guy, that person I was talking to, I said, let me tell you something that I know. I said, you cannot follow. Somebody say follow. Follow. Not claim him. Right. I said, you cannot follow Jesus and not see results. Amen. In your life, in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit. Yeah. I said, you cannot. I am not deceived by this world. I'm not deceived by Christians that are not putting their boots on and gearing up. I'm not going to be watered down with the Word of God because some say, why don't God move? And I never think that. I say, no, why don't you let God move? Why don't you let God move? It ain't why don't God move. It is why don't I let God move? Right? Why don't I let him, right? Limit him. Psalm 78. See, it's good to know the Word of God. Johnny just quoted it. So he's going around, oh, I'm not going to limit God. Why? Because he knows Psalm 78. Some people don't even know Psalm 78. Oh, God, I don't know why you don't move and blah, 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 blah. He was moving right in the midst. God spoke to me the other day. He said, some can't even see when good comes to them. He said, I'm good to them and they can't even see it. I'm trying to get them to the Lord told me. I mean, that guy went on and he was complaining about his wife. He was complaining about every church and every church he had ever been to and blah, blah, blah. Boy, I mean, I listened to about an hour of that and I thought, this is Saturday. I thought, man, tomorrow's Sunday. If I listen to all of this, I'm going to be so oppressed I can't hear God this evening and get a message for nobody. But I just stopped. I just stopped everything and I thought, I'm going to listen. Then I'm going to blast. I'm going to blast that devil. I'm going to come against in just a few words. I'm going to come against and tear down all that. So I was reminded because I sat and guarded my heart, Richard. I wasn't caught up in their junk. It was real to them. Their situation. Teresa's real. She was hell to live with for years. Now look. Oh, glory to God. Woo! But you know what? I mean, all the time I thought she's just a carnal Christian. I mean, that's what you got to think about your brother and sister. They're just carnal. They don't mean to be. Well, anyways, all the time, Richard, I was guarding my heart and keeping it, so I was reminded of some of that stuff. And so when that person got on and on and on and on justifying why we hold for unforgiveness, you have no right. And you don't want to. The Bible says in James, for a man that knows to do right and do it not to him, it is sin. Sin. What does the Bible say in Romans 6, for the wages of sin are death? Destruction, right? So, sin requires wages. It requires payment, right? And so, if I know to do right and I don't, it's sin, then that sin is going to pay me something, right? That's what it says. I didn't write it. And I'm glad to know that. I am absolutely 100% thankful that I realize that I'm not going to harbor unforgiveness. I have forgave hundreds of people that have lied and borrowed from me and never intended to pay me back. I have forgave hundreds to keep from having unforgiveness in my heart because that sin. The Bible says, be angry, be angry, but don't sin. I got that scripture, so I'm not going to put it up there. She done preached it to you and taught it to you. It says, let not the sun go down upon your... That means if I'm angry, still angry about something somebody did to me today, at bedtime, I need to get rid of it. Right then, I need to choose to say, Father, I forgive them. I told that person, yeah, they went through the bid, and I mean went back, I'm talking about all the way back, 15 years. I heard 15 years of stuff. And when it got done, I said, well, you know, I said it kind of reminds me, because it was all about all they done wrong to them, Chris. I'm sure it was real. The oppression's real, but you're telling me something. You're a Christian. You're walking outside of God. I don't care how you want to. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm washed in the blood. Ain't nobody going to tell me I ain't saved. You might be born again, but black God, you are living in total defeat. Total surrender to your circumstances. Total, and the reason why, there's only one reason why, you quit being a disciple. A disciple is somebody that is sitting, learning, growing, exercising, developing, and doing something with what they learn. We expect our kids to do it in school. Yeah. And so when it got done, I said, yeah. I said, you know, I said, I could have made a bad example to the church about the guitars that was stolen out of our building during COVID. They broke through the doors and they stole our guitars. I said, and to hear some of them, I said, just out of not knowing and not realizing, out of thoughts, carnal thoughts, I said, you know, them stupid drug dealers, them drug heads, and blah, blah, blah. I said, so I had to bring it to the church. I said, I had to go teach the church that you got to forgive and love your enemies. Right? That we don't wrestle against flesh. It wasn't the drug dealers. It wasn't, they're held captive by our enemy. If somebody has stole from you, they're held captive by your enemy. Right? So to attack them, they're already in bondage. Right? But to forgive them is setting you free and giving them mercy. We've been given mercy, ain't we? We got the talents over there. We got that over there. We're one owed, and he went in there and he owed the guy money, and he goes in there and he tells him, I want the money, and blah, blah, blah. And he said, well, I ain't got it to pay, and he's going to put him in jail to the tormentors. And he falls down on his knees and he said, have mercy on me. Just give me a little bit of time and I'll pay it. I promise I'll pay it. And so the Bible says neither that he had mercy on him. Forgave him. Well, the same guy that was forgiven, somebody owed him. And then he goes and he says, pay up. And he says, well, I ain't got the money. But just give me a little bit of time and I'll pay you. Now, this wasn't in my sermon. Somebody needs it. He said, but he didn't. He would not. The one that had already been forgiven, have you been forgiven of your sins, your wrongdoing? Have you been forgiven? This is a parable I'm talking about. And he says, nope, not going to do it. So he put them in jail to the tormentors, turned them over to the tormentors to get paid what they owed. Well, the one that had forgiven him found out about it. And he says, that's not good. So he goes back to him and had him put in jail. That's a parable. He should have forgiven like his master. He should have forgiven like the other one over there. Hallelujah. I know in our carnal mind, we have legitimate reasons we come up with to justify and make ourselves feel good that it's justifiable to hold offense or somebody done you wrong or something in our hearts and not forgive them. But I'm telling you, this kingdom is not like the world. It's not like the devil. We have put on the new man. So I told that person, I said, you know, I said, so I took it to the church. I said, and I forgave them. I said, I had to forgive them first. I said, because I had to go and teach the church that not to hold things against people when they do you wrong, because you will always be offended if you do. You will. Aiden and Aubrey has opportunities to get me upset. They do. Although I love them. You know? And you know, I mean, there's people that host things against their kids and their grandkids. Back years ago, I could hold it against Teresa because she was a carnal Christian. She could hold it against me because I was a baby carnal Christian. Right? I tore the porch off one time because I was mad and it felt good. I thought, I'll show her. So I tore it off and I said, I'm still here. I was thinking, why don't you just come on out here like you big bad self, like you used to. Come on out here. Like God, I'll take you to the ground. This feels good to be in the flesh right now. You know? I got done and you know what? I saved for a whole year for that porch. And I built that thing, Johnny, and I saved, and I mean, consciously, you know, and then I tore it all up in just about 3 or 4 minutes. It'd take me 3 or 4 minutes. And when I got down out of the flesh, I thought, boy, that was stupid. That was dumb. That was stupid, stupid. And then Satan, boy, you're stupid. And I thought, oh, he's right this time. See, see how I give an enemy the right to come and accuse me, and him be right, and then me condemn myself? I gave him. The Bible says for me and you to give no place to the enemy. Well, that prodigal son, don't ever do it. Don't ever walk away from God. Just don't do it. There's nothing back there. The world has nothing to offer. Your flesh has nothing to offer you but bondage. Your will, your own way. I'm telling you, all it is bondage. Your flesh tries to figure out what God's already done when God says, just trust me. And when God gives us instruction, I mean, just like this, I'm reading one day. Now, I was a bona fide thief before I got born again. I mean, I was a thief. I mean, I met people that never stole a candy bar and wouldn't. I'm like, ooh, yeah, boy, you're a good guy. I never not stole nothing. So I'm on the flip side of the coin there, you know. And I'm reading one day, I'm reading the Bible, Monty. And Paul tells them in Ephesians over there, he said, put that up there, Beth. Just put it up there. Okay, if you know to do something right and you don't do it, what is it to you? I didn't write it. If you know to do something right and you don't do it, what is it to you? And then it's going to bring destruction. So don't take that. I mean, this morning it's like God was saying that to me, and he said, look, I want you to lay this out. He said, knowledge. My people dies, perishes, drawbacks are defeated because they don't know that. He said, I'm bringing that where you know, where they know. He said, and then what you know, he said, you coming out, ain't you? And I said, I am, Lord. I'm freer today than I've been 30 years. I'm telling you. I've been progressively all these 30 years getting freer and freer from the flesh. And but anyhow, he said, but you did not so learn Christ, assuming that you, this is an AMPC version, whatever that means. It says, but you did not learn Christ, assuming that you have really heard him and been taught by him, and all truth is in Jesus, embodied and personified in him. Strip yourself of your former nature. Now, Teresa talked about God doing everything. People believe that God's just in control. God is not in control whether I have a temper or not. God is not in control whether I lie or not. God is not in control whether I eat pork and beans or pinto beans. Right? God is not in control of me stealing. Right? God is not in control of that. I am. That's why he said, strip myself of that old nature. Put off and discard your old unrenewed self. Get rid of it, he says, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lust and desire that spring from delusion. And be consistently renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. I'm reading one day. We'll get back on the prodigal son here in a minute. I've been one. Short period, about 3 months. It's all I could take without Jesus. My life got bad. My finances got bad. My marriage got bad. I went back doing the same things that I had been doing because that's all I had was trained to do. See, if you've trained yourself to trust in yourself and lean on yourself and all of that and not forgive people all of the time, you're going to have to work on it. If you want freedom, if you want to be free from it, then you must work on it. If you're unfaithful, then you got to work on being faithful. If you are lazy, then you got to work on not being lazy. If you're getting too much sleep, then you're going to have to work on not getting too much sleep. Right? If you ain't doing your homework in school and failing, you got to quit blaming the teachers and the principal and your parents. Right? You got to say, greater is he that's in me than he, like you think us parents ought to be, like Christ. The kids think the parents ought not to do wrong, but they want to do wrong. No, hold yourself to the same standard that you would hold somebody else. That applies all the way down. If you're a teenager, youth, or whatever, or young, you know, praise God, you're born again, then you strip yourself of that attitude. You strip yourself of disobedience to your parents, because the Bible says for you to honor your father and your mother. It didn't say they don't understand. Aubrey told Travis the other day because something about Takis. Takis. She likes them Takis. I don't know how she eats that stuff. Set you on fire, man. They're hot. You know? Something about them treats. She could went out there and her tongue's all blue and all of that. And she can't breathe. She needs something to drink. So Teresa just tells her, well, look, you know, if all of that, maybe you need to cut back on them Takis. If you can't breathe and all that. Well, she takes it to extreme. Oh, Grandma said, no Takis. Got to quit eating Takis. And then she tells Travis, y'all are just all under the law. Y'all got a bunch of laws for me. Y'all need to come out from under the law. I'm thinking, man, she's 10. What does she mean under the law? She must have heard it at church or something. You know? No, it's called standards. It's called, you know, you're going to bed at 9. Right? It's called you ain't eating candy before you eat supper. They think that's under the law. No. It says here, let me read on it because I want to get to something. He said, therefore, rejecting and whatever that word is, yeah, falsity and being done now with it. Let everyone express the truth with his neighbor. For we are all parts of one body and members of one another. I mean, we really are. The scripture says we are. Parts of one another and members of one another. When angry, do not sin. How do you get angry and start gossiping about them? That's sinning. You're uncovering. You need to pray for them. You need to intercede and fast for them. I'm not tempted to sin every day. Are y'all shocked? Not every day. I'm tempted to sin sometimes when I get home. Or I get to church. Especially, Teresa's on, she ain't on me, but they keep moving when they dump the garbage down here, I don't know what their problem is. They've done it forever. They got one place, they set it. I reckon when they pick it up, they back off and then dump it out there and then pull back up. Well, they itch it up about 3 or 4 inches every time. You know, and so they get it so close to the building till the people run over our water meter. And so Teresa, I heard it for about 3 days. I'm going to have to get that move. I'm going to have to get that move. And I thought, God, I'm going to have to go get that move for I sin. See? Well, she don't realize, Chris, I've got my business to attend with. I've got my grandkids to attend with. I got her to attend with. I got to cut wood, bust wood, get wood. The heater won't burn right. It's cold in here now. My face is burning because the heater's kicking on. I told her yesterday, I said, you're baked on one side. She sits right here, the heater's here, and it's like I have to go stand where it ain't baking her face. Get up, move on to the other end of the room, baby. We got couches all over there too. But no, this is my favorite spot. Favorite spot. Now, what I'm saying, Richard, is all this pressure. Then we got one company up there that calls men. Everybody's calling. They need their doors in. Everybody's calling. That's the words out of his mouth. Then I'm pressured. I'm like, oh, I got to put doors in over here for me and that company up there and blah, blah. I can gripe about my job too, guys. I can gripe and complain. And complained about having to go all the way over yonder 1 hour and a half, and they didn't even charge the trip charge, and now it cost me over $250 to go, and I made $30. $30. Travis never heard me say that. I'm just telling you what I could do. Now I go over and I, whoo, glory to God, I got $30. Whoo, hallelujah, I got $30, Lord. Hallelujah, praise God. And then I go take that 30, go fill my sister's truck up with fuel here. Devil, take this. I just took the blessed, I just made a blessing out of the 30. Hallelujah. Why? Because I have on the new man, and that old man ain't coming out no more. He was a complainer. He was all about himself. He was all selfish. He was all about what he wanted. Hallelujah. How many knows that's what the prodigal son was? But he goes down, praise God, and he goes down there to a far country. Get out of church. Get away from God. Just go work my job and go with my house and go fishing now on Sunday. I'm free. I ain't got to go to church on Wednesday. I'm free. I don't got to go to the giveaway down there. Everybody else will cover it. I'm free. I don't got to go help with the clothes down there. I got more important stuff to do. I'm free. That's what he said. Or your church, whatever they're doing. Well, you know what? He gets down there and he loses his inheritance. I mean, he ain't got the money need to eat anymore. And I wrote this down, and God, I wrote this down. I want somewhere here. I'll get here. Here it is. The life, a person that walks away from the kingdom of God, they can say they ain't if they want to. But if they're not walking in the spirit, they're walking in the flesh. I told that person yesterday, I said, listen to me. Talking about gifts and callings in his life. I said, your gifts and your callings are nothing to do with your personal walk. Your gifts and your callings that God and talents that God has given you in your life is not for you. It is for the body of Christ. I said, and your life away from your gifting is what is important. I said, your gift and calling, I just told my son the other day when she realized it. I told him, I said, listen, son, God will use you in spite of the way you live to the body. God will operate that gift. But I told Travis, I said, but you got to separate them and your walk with Jesus Christ. And then I told that guy, I said, here's you some good scripture for it. Lord, we went, we played. We played the guitars, Lord. We cast out devils, God. We went down there. We went to church every now and then, God. And Lord, we cast out devils. We heal the sick. God uses you. God, you can come under the anointing and you can be backslid. But God, it's in the Bible. Saul went down there, got under the anointing, and the things of God begin to be stirred in the man, and he begins to prophesy, and he was backslid. I was telling that person for their own good. Don't deceive yourself. Your walk with Jesus Christ is separate from your gifts and callings. Right? According to Scripture, hallelujah. That's why the Lord tells us to strip off that old man. Go on, give me some more, Beth. Ain't there some more of that? Oh, yeah, yeah. The life goes from good life to just surviving. Those that start getting away from the Lord, they lose confidence in God. They used to trust God to come through financially. They used to have confidence in there that if something come against them, that God would work it out. They used to have, they wasn't oppressed. Oppression would try to come and they would resist it. The Bible says resist the devil, right? And he'll go, all that comes from the devil. Oppression, all that fear, anxiety, all that stuff. And he wants us to be self, he wants us to not trust in the Lord. But they go from a good life to just surviving. No faith, no breakthroughs, no spiritual food. And Satan begins to take advantage of that. He begins to take advantage of that. He begins to work on the mind so that your will and emotions are a wreck. And then some, they lose it all. I mean, I have seen them lose it all, Chris. I mean, lose their marriage. I have seen them lose their jobs, their finances, their friends, their relationships, their fellowship with other people. Because, see, somebody that's close to us and walking with God, we can walk with them and fellowship with them. And then when they get away from God, they begin to draw away from God, then they're not of the same spirit, then you can't tolerate them. It's not your fault. Hallelujah. But what I'm saying here, Satan takes advantage. They lose it all, their marriage, their job, friends, relationships, and finances. I'm not going to need to let Satan fool me 1 minute. I'm blessed going in, and it's because I'm in obedience to God. It's because, Travis, he was talking about, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I thank you for blind overhead door. God, you took it from a place to where we had to work. We had to work 10, 12 hours a day, God. And I believe for less work, more money. Big jobs, less work, more money. And God, you brought it to a place. And this is my will. My will was for him at 5 when I laid my hands on him, Chris, because I knew that I was in the will of God at that time and laid hands on him and said, God, would you put him in the garage door business with me, God? Not my will, but your will be done. And I blessed him at 5 or 6 years old and believed, God, that he would raise him up and give him a heart. Well, now he's partakers of my blessing. And he don't have to work 40, 50, 60 hours a week. And don't be jealous of that. I praise God he gets time at home with his kids and his grandkids and his wife, and not grandkids, his wife and all of that. I praise God for that. Hallelujah. Praise God. I praise God whenever God blesses you and you I see the blessing coming on your life and you don't have it as hard as you used to and you don't. That's what happened. The prodigal son. Some of you out there in Facebook land, you might even be sitting here looking like a good Christian this morning. You can be backslid in your heart according to Psalm 78 and still going to church. And still, you know, because you feel responsible. You feel responsible for the people. Now you got to do this thing because you're following Jesus. You keep it simple. I don't come here because I'll look bad to you. I don't. I do care how I look to you. It's like I told that guy the other day. I said, listen to me. I said, my life ought to be to you that you have confidence that I serve and walk with Jesus. I said, you ought to be able to look at my life and say, Scotty Weston is separated. Scotty Weston ain't perfect, but Scotty Weston walks with Jesus. He knows Jesus. I see the fruit in his life, and I can call on him because I know that he knows Jesus. I said, in order to be able to look at your life, and the world needs to be able to look at my life because I am saved and serve Jesus, and they ought to be able to look at me as a Christian, not a preacher, a Christian, and say, this man knows God. And so I got done. He said, he's quiet. I said, I know I just slapped you, but that's okay. I get slapped too. I said, but God, I'd rather get slapped. Teresa's granny told me one time in dinner, I'm crying, my marriage, granny. Granny, my marriage. Teresa, blah, 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 blah. Well, she'd left me for the umpteenth time, and they're getting tired of it, I'm sure. Hearing this garbage all the time, and, you know, you never know where we're at. I just go trade my vehicle for a bus loaded up with taters up yonder in Coleman. We find ourselves down yonder in Dade City, Florida, and everybody wondering where we went. Even talked my dad into it one time. Come on, Dad, let's go to Florida. Put him a bed in there, drug an old bus out of the woods, traded my pickup for it, and got that thing running, went loaded up, and put him a bed in there. And then we going down, and they're down there flagging me down, and I hit the brakes, and the back wheel cylinder broke. I couldn't stop for the cop. So I just run through the roadblock. Got out, and the cop come down there. I said, man, I'll blow the wheel cylinder, blow the wheel. I'm 18 years old, driving a big old 40-foot school bus with Daddy asleep on the bed back there. Talked him into going to Florida in it. We'll be back, Dad. We're coming back. Well, I get out there, give me some vice grips. I didn't call a tow truck, man. They cost $45. I didn't even have $45. We barely going to make it to Florida. That's without Christ. I get out there, man. I take some vines of vice grips, and I go back there, pinch the brake line, go put some in there, and go on to Florida with three brakes. Ain't stopping me brakes. I don't need brakes. We're on a journey. How much more over here with the kingdom? The cold ain't going to stop us. The rain ain't going to. We're going out on the streets, baby. I can't wait till March. But God, we're going to get two teams together. We're going to go door to door. Oh, you're going to get rejected.
They don't want to hear about our Jesus.
We ain't into that crybaby stuff, but God, we're going to tell them about our Savior that brought us through all of our hardship, our marriage, our kids. God brought breakthroughs. We was about to lose it all, but God and God come through one time. We was about to lose our marriage, and God intervened. And you are here, you are today. If you're lost without Him, man, I mean, we're not out here serving a dead God. This woman that seemingly hates Jesus, that almost destroyed Mac when we went on the streets. They shut us down. Mac, they shut us down. They shut Jesus down. I said, Mac, they didn't shut Jesus down, man. I said, this is your opportunity when you feel ashamed to not be as He said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. I said, look, we just tell them, we'll be back. They may not let us on that parking lot, but we'll open ours up. Right? If Lucky's won't let us, we'll get on the church parking lot, the Baptist. I think they'll change by now. Hallelujah. Well, that prodigal son, he said, hey, man, I mean, he goes down there and joins himself with the citizens of that far country. Birds of feathers flock together. In other words, nobody knows. Those prodigals, they'll just hunt somebody singing the same tune. Same trouble. My brother went through a divorce one time. Ah, man, I get around them that's went through divorce. They can relate to me. And I said, that's the wrong ones. I said, you need to go find you somebody that's got a good marriage that ain't going to feed that flesh, your sorrows and blah, blah, blah. I said, you need to go get her. But Granny told me one time, she told me one time, she said, do you love her? And I said, well, y'all love her. That's why I'm crying. She told me, she said, well, Scotty, she said, a rolling stone can't gather no moss. And I left her and I thought, that old woman's nuts. What is she talking about, a rolling stone? You know, Rolling Stone, just move to Florida, come back, move from my house when they pay your rent, guys. I'd live there long enough till the rent run out that I never paid none, told them I'd do a little work. You know how that lying goes. Lying to them, I'd lie to them, and then when the rent run out, I'm leaving. I'd buy a car when they come after it, I pulled a gun on them, told them you ain't getting my car. I didn't pay for it. I run them off. I'm going to shoot you. Then if I don't shoot you, I'll give it to Teresa. She will. You can't have our car. It's the only one we got. Are you stupid? That's what I told him. I said, are you stupid, man? We'll be stranded here. You can't get our car. They left and didn't get our car. But he says, let the thief steal no more, but rather let him be industrious, making an honest living with his own hands so that he may give to those who need. I'm about to close with this. So if you're a prodigal, if you walked away, if you've quit trusting God, don't deceive yourself. If you're not closer to the Lord right now, you might as well admit you're backslid. Backsliding, backslid, not right, you know. Instead of somebody sugarcoating it and say, well, you're okay. Jesus, that's stupid. Them two kids back there a while ago, Aiden got upset, called Aubrey, wouldn't let him have a marker. And I looked at him and I said, well, where's your markers?
Well, I ain't got none.
I said, well, she brought them. Well, she could let me have them. I said, well, she don't want to, like you don't want to let her use nothing of yours. It's different with him, though. She ought to. And I told him, I said, well, one of them marked on his head. She marked on his head. It's his fault. Both of them's going. I said, who is it? Whose fault is it? They both pointed, and they just crossed like that. Hers. His. And I thought, man, that's the way it is with some of God's people. They blaming God. Blaming God because he can't come through financially and you don't give nothing into the kingdom. Amen. Don't give nothing, but expect God to show up. Hallelujah. Teresa told me this morning, she said, what's your tithe check? I said, I don't have one out of Blunt, but I made my money the other way. So I'd put this money in this truck and I'd prayed and told y'all about it and God moved it and later I dealt with Marketplace, you know. If you want a good workout, put something up on Marketplace and set a half a day of your time aside for somebody. But God, you'll learn how to forgive. Well, anyways, I was walking through there. I was being funny, really. And I'll close with it. I told her, I said, hey, I said, listen, I said, I sold the truck for this much. I said, I bought the truck and I paid tithes on the money that I bought the truck. I said, now, I gave this much in it, you know, should I take that out of it? That I already had and done paid tithes on it and then tithe off the rest of it. And she, and I'm following her. She's going through there, you just let God tell you what to do. Don't ask me. You ask the Lord about that. I already had the answer, man. So I go in there, and I didn't think about it. I just took the full amount of what increase that came, and I brought it to the house of God. I just brought it to the, and I told God, I said, God, I could get technical with this, but I don't want you technical with me. You know, so I'm just going to round it up. I'm going to sow more. I said, pray God. I said, that's my increase. The first fruits of all, so shall my barns be filled with plenty. Now, you know what? It used to was a challenge for me to pay tithes and give offerings because that's usually, it would stretch me. But now it's like, it's no stretch. I told somebody this morning, I said, you know what you might be going through? You might be going through the fire and through the flood, but he'll bring you to that wealthy place if you keep trusting. You keep trusting, he'll bring you to that abundant place. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father.